It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, and today I want to read from Romans chapter 15. Paul said, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Friend, did you know that the Bible offers hope in these dark days in which we live? Paul goes on in verse 5, he says, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Boy, God wants you and I to be in unity in the Spirit, friend, to be of one mind and one accord. And then he said in verse 13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Once you get all these titles that Paul's using for the Lord here, the God of patience, the God of comfort, the God of hope. And now he says in verse 30, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints." Now let's close out with verse 32 and 33 today. "That I may come to you with joy by the will of God, and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace," another title, "be with you all." If you look back at the verses we read today from the book of Romans chapter 15, in these 8 verses, Paul refers to God by 4 different names. He describes God with 4 different adjectives that point to his character in a way that was much needed for the saints in Rome, and I believe it's just as much necessary today in these days in which we live. He calls him the God of patience and comfort, the God of hope, and the God of peace. The God of patience, the God of comfort, the God of hope, and the God of peace. Could you use a little patience today, friend? How many could use a little hope, and maybe you need some more peace in your life today? We can't offer the world anything that we don't already have and that we experience in our life. And Paul knew this when he's speaking to the Romans. He's talking out of experience. You can't offer hope to the world unless you have that hope found in Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven lacks nothing, and he's able to meet our needs and take care of us. Our needs, not all of our wants, but our needs. And this same Paul said to the Philippians, when we learned this as we taught last week on the book of Philippians, in 4:19, he said, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I find it interesting that the 4 ways in which Paul describes God, the 4 titles he ascribes to God, they all refer to emotional needs. He's the God of peace. He's the God of hope. He's the God of patience. And he's the God of comfort. See, sometimes our needs are not just physical. Sometimes you and I face very real emotional needs. In the first part of verse 5 of Romans 15, Paul describes God as the God of patience. He's the God of patience. God's patient so many times when I am not. I'm so glad he's patient. He waits on us to get our act together, to catch on, to get it right. In some translations, like the New King James Version, it says he's long-suffering. See, patience does sometimes involve suffering. Peter said this in 2 Peter 3:9. He said, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Paul would later write to his spiritual son Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. He said, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Neighbor, God is the God of patience. He is patient with us. He's long-suffering with us. In Psalm 103, the psalmist in verse 8 said, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love." And in verse 10, he went on to say this, "He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities." God is so patient with us, but we don't need to abuse it because we have to stand before him one day and give an account. If you're lacking in patience, be careful how you pray, because patience is often learned by suffering. Did you ever see someone who just doesn't have any patience at all? I mean, usually it's people who have a very low tolerance for inconvenience. They don't want to be bothered or go out of their way for others. And so patience is learned through suffering. I love Max Lucado. He's a great author. He said, "Patience is more than a virtue for long lines and slow waiters. Patience is the red carpet upon which God's grace approaches us." See, he waits for us to grasp the truth of his grace. And then one day we cry out for his help, and God's there graciously to save us and turn our lives around. See, in Isaiah 49:13, it says, "For the Lord comforts his people, and he will have compassion on his afflicted ones." The second title that Paul ascribed to God here is he called him the God of comfort. The God of comfort. There are many situations in life where our hearts get broken and grief comes into our life. Maybe it's the breakup of a marriage. Maybe the loss of our health. Maybe a teenager that's gone astray. But God comforts his people and will have compassion on those who are afflicted. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Just as the sufferings of Christ flow into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." See, this verse actually answers the question that we often ask, why bad things happen to good people. It's the greatest mystery in life. And God tells us why it happens, so that we can comfort others with the same comfort God gives us in all of our trials. God gives us this beautiful image of his comfort in Isaiah 66 verse 13, when he said, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." He comforts us so we can help others who are going through trials in their own life. Now, the third name that Paul ascribes to God here is he calls him the God of hope. The God of hope. In verse 13, Paul said, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." The Hebrew concept of hope is very strong. The Jews use the word for hope. It's the word tikva, and it means hope. And in Hebrew, the word means expectation, and it also means a cord or a rope, which comes from the root word that means to bind or to wait for or upon. So hope is that cord that holds on to us and keeps us when you feel like you just can't hold, you're going to fail. And God says, hold on to that rope of hope. The world's concept of hope is more like rolling the dice. But for us as believers, our hope is more concrete. It's like a rope where we're attached to God. We cling to him because he is our hope. He's the God of hope. To the Jews before they went into captivity in the Babylon, what did God say to them through the prophet Jeremiah? That great verse, Jeremiah 29:11. He said, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Abraham, oh my goodness, the Bible says of him in Romans 4, verse 18 said, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be." Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. See, the gift of hope builds character in our life as we wait patiently for the promises of God. When you think you've waited a long time, remember Abraham and how long he waited for his son Isaac. Isaiah 40 and verse 31 carried me through some very dark days in my life. It said, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." What is hope? It's not wishful thinking. Hope is that firm reliance upon God and His promises. It's not the power of positive thinking. It's that belief that I'm attached to God by His rope of hope. And He's going to see me through whatever I am facing. Bill Bright said this, "With God, life is an endless hope. Without God, life is a hopeless end." In Job chapter 19, Job probably went through more than you and I could ever even imagine in our life. He said, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end He will stand up upon the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see Him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." In the middle of horrible circumstances, probably the worst disasters anyone could ever face, and yet Job declared, "I shall see God. Though God slay me, yet will I trust Him." God is the God of comfort. In verse 33, Paul said, "May the God of peace be with you." You know, in John 14, in the prior chapter, Jesus began to talk to them about the fact that He was going to suffer and die, that He would be betrayed. And then He said this in John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let it be afraid." I love that. Jesus is telling them to be calm, to be at peace, because He is the God of peace. And you know what? The peace of God passes all understanding. No matter what's happening in our world, I don't have to be afraid because I have Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, it said, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast," or stayed upon thee, "because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal." Now, when we trust in Him, we focus on Him. We don't just have peace, but we have perfect peace. "My house is built upon the rock and not the shifting sand. And when the winds blow and the storms come, it's going to stand because He's with me. The God of Jacob is my refuge." Even though we're living in an age where the Bible prophesied that in the last days, nation would be against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There's wars going on in Ukraine, wars in Israel. Iran is threatening wars. And yet in the middle of all this, God reminds us that He is our peace. Let me close with going back to Philippians, that great book that we just finished a verse-by-verse study. Philippians 4, look at verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole, he said this. He said, "Peace is always the umpire for doing the will of God. Our God gives us peace as we follow Him." Friend, I so appreciate you tuning in today for Fresh Oil, and I believe God brought us together for you to hear this timely word. God, our God, is the God of peace. Our God is the God of hope. He's the God of comfort, and He's the God of patience. Thank you for joining me today on Fresh Oil. Go by our website at weneedgod.com. Drop me an email. Let me know what station you're listening to this on. God loves you.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.